Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Oh, you know, what's up? It's weird we're doing one of these in the same room.
I know. I'm trying to make it so you and I are the same loudness.
I mean, I could just yell if you want me to.
No, that's perfect. Do it just like that. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So first of all, it's Thanksgiving. Jacob is here. We're hanging out together.
It's weird. Where do I look? Do I look there? Do I look there?
I would look at the camera because we're not doing it live today. So we're not going to be jacking around.
Got it.
I'm assuming that this audio is going to be a little off because, mostly because I've been left up to my own devices and you know, I don't do that well.
Yeah. And we're also in the same room. So you'll probably hear me on that mic and I'll hear you on this mic and just kind of,
I don't think
that.
You're supposed to do that.
No, we're not supposed to, but based on what I can see for the soundboard, whenever I talk, I can see mostly your mic also light up. So we'll see. We'll see.
Really?
Yeah.
All I see is that I'm louder than you. And I don't know why.
I think you've always been louder than me.
So listen, it's Thanksgiving. First of all, I'm so glad to have you here. I just wanted to let everybody know I've been a little invisible on social media for a couple of days. I haven't felt well.
No, it is not the Rona.
No,
he can still see his Bona.
Yep. I'm just having some kidney issues and just getting to the bottom of them, but unfortunately also it has stopped me from working out and
eating.
That weight that I gained, I done lost.
Yep. Happens fast for you and me.
It's so crazy that, is this the first time in our lives that I'm lighter than you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How you feel about that? It's weird, right?
It's the first time I've been like consistently 160 ever in my life. The only other time I've ever hit 160, two other times in my life, was when I was at LSU and I was working out 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
eating a full pizza every day. Like, so this was my routine at LSU. I don't know if you know this. I would go to class in the morning and I would come home. I would do a little bit of homework. I would play Xbox. And then as it got later in the day, also I lived across campus from the gym. So mm-hmm. I had like a mile longboard to get there. But some days
you were longboarding at the time.
Yeah. Well, having a longboard around campus was really crucial for me just to get to class or like just for fun. Like it just eliminated the walking also. And it was just a more fun way of transportation and way quicker. But sometimes when it was leg day, I would run to the gym. I'd run that mile and a half to the gym to just get myself warm and then run right into squats and just start going. But so when I was working out 5 days a week, I would go in and I would do all that and I would work out and then I would leave. I would go to the dining hall as I went back to my dorm and I would get a large Papa John pizza, pepperoni mushroom, and I would eat half of it.
That's our jam, pepperoni mushroom.
I would eat half of it after my gym.
Right.
I'd eat the other half for dinner the next morning and I'd have a protein shake in between. And then I would wake up the next day. If I had a piece of pizza left over, it was breakfast, and I would do it all over again. If I had a break in the middle of the day or had a lot of classes, I would have a lunch somewhere in the dining hall. But then, yeah, that was the only time I was like a solid 165 when I came back from my first semester of college.
Let me ask you something.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then it was gone.
What? Because you were at LSU for a semester.
Only a semester, yep.
What?
What's Aggies?
What was it that was the hardest part for you?
Well, I think also like one of the worst parts for me is like, you know, I just been gotten out of a high school relationship and one I wasn't happy in. And then, you know, I told myself, I was like, yo, don't fall in love again. You're going to want to have fun at school.
But by the way, for everybody listening, Jacob is a straight up lover.
Yeah.
He's a relationship
dude. I'm not a guy who's afraid of relationships.
He's like a relationship.
I'm not afraid
dude.
Of commitment.
Yeah, you're
so that dude. So I didn't follow my own rules and fell in love before I left for school. And so being away from that person was hard. In hindsight, she dumped me over quarantine, so I could have stayed at school.
Do you think that was the number one factor to come home?
For me, yeah. I always said it wasn't. It always was.
Yeah.
It always was. But you know, hindsight vision's 20/20. Could have done a lot of things differently. But, you know, it is what it is. We're here.
Yeah, man. I think it's smart not to look at any of that with regret.
No.
Because
also leaving school was like one of the best things I ever did.
Yeah. And you now where you are in your life, like
didn't need it.
It's not just that. Like there's things that you have that your life would be different that you wouldn't have right now.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. So,
I
it's weird how life works.
That first time we saw each other in Cleveland.
It was October of 2015.
October 2015.
I moved in, guys, August. Second week of August is when I moved in at LSU.
Easily the longest you and I had ever not seen each other.
100%. At least in my, well, oh yeah, longest at one time. Yeah, because you were gone weekends, but you were still back.
For sure. And I had never seen you like that before when you got to Cleveland.
What do you mean?
You just felt... Was that the trip you saw someone get shot?
Yes, that was the trip I saw somebody get shot. Yep.
Yeah, that was a crazy trip.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was probably different because I felt like an outcast at LSU. What it was. Because I got there 2 weeks early to rush. And by the way, when you had to rush at LSU, or I think any school in the South that has... where Greek life is such a crazy lineage and things that go back generations, you had to sign up online. So I had to sign up online 2 weeks in advance, and we got there 2 weeks before school started so we could rush and then whatever, figured it out after that for pledging. I ended up signing up and getting a confirmation email and then got to rushing, and my name wasn't on the list. So I ended up walking around with what I thought was my group and then getting sent home because I couldn't rush because I wasn't on the list. And so...
By the way.
And also, but so, you know, for me, like, this was how I knew I was an outcast. And I knew I was going to be different.
Why did you feel like you were an outcast there?
When you are walking around with 300 other dudes in your grade who are looking to rush, and every single one of them is dressed exactly the fucking same. Right. To the T, from shoes to shirt.
Docksiders.
Docksiders, no socks. Khaki shorts and a polo.
That's not your jam.
And a belt.
Yeah. By the way, nothing wrong with Chads.
No.
And Brads.
And Thads. You guys do your thing. It's fine. That's
100%.
It fits the character. So you do whatever you
want. Nah, man. Like, just how some people, that's how they grow up. You know, yeah, kind of conservative.
That's the culture, and that's fine. That's what you wore. But when I walk in wearing Jordan's jeans and a flannel and a backwards hat, I am the token kid. I'm the kid that everybody looks at and goes, who? You're obviously not from here.
Did you feel that? Did you feel like, oh, they know I'm from California? Or
yeah, because then we walked by that first sorority house, and half of the there were some dudes who were in my grade who knew the girls in the houses, and they were cheering and talking to each other.
They knew because they grew up with them or something,
or like they were brothers, friends, sisters, friends, whatever. Well, a couple dudes just got called out because they were cute freshmen, and they got called into the house. Like, sorority girls just took them out of the pledging and brought them into the house. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, how did you not? You're the cutest freshman guy.
Well, I was the only one who looked different. So I was like, I'll stand out like a fucking green thumb. Like,
yeah.
But I feel like I stood out too much to it just fit for me to be the kid who looked like that, to not be on the rush list, to then have to walk back across campus past all the Greek life houses, sweating in the August Louisiana heat, taking your flannel off, taking your hat off, and just walking back kind of defeated to your dorm.
I remember talking to you after
ass, that. Man.
I remember talking to you about that. I'm going to tell you the honest truth.
It was the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
Had I gotten into one of those things, I would still be there.
I was so happy. Low key.
But also, I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be so honest. Some of the things I hear and some of the things we've seen online, the fact, and this is what I think it is.
Yeah.
For you dudes who go through all that shit just to get another guy's approval, it looks desperate.
I don't know about that.
I do. There were some guys who sat in cages and got peed on by upperclassmen.
By the way, now
as
somebody who pledged.
It just seems like too much, man.
As somebody who pledged, you're not pledging for approval from older people. You're pledging to belong to a group. You know what I mean? You're
Why
pledging.
Do I want to belong to a group that puts me in a cage?
This is not up for debate. Like, I completely understand that. But what
We're
I mean
fighting.
Is that, but like, what I mean is that, and when you get caught up in that, you don't look at it singularly as, hey, they're putting me in this cage. You look at it in big picture. Like, we all did this. We're all doing this together. It's part of the deal. Now, I didn't pledge a national fraternity. National fraternities were not allowed on our campus. So it was all local fraternities. So, you know, there's one chapter.
Right.
And it's at Trinity University, yeah, right? Yeah. And we weren't allowed to drink during pledging. There's no parties. There's no cages. Our pledging was really built around forging bonds. So they would really put us in terrible situations where you just had to rely on the person next to you. Like I said, no drinking. Closer. How do I put this? Because I don't want to divulge. Closer to a survival, like a
not worth it for me.
No. But I will say this: so worth it for me, knowing the friends that I still have.
100%. And I get like one of my buddies, best friends, Riley. Like he joined it. Yeah. He said, you know, like he said, it was a lot of drinking, but there was at one point they put us all. He said they put 20 of us in a bathroom. They made sure we had water and had food, and we sat there for 36 hours.
You talked to each other.
And you sat in the bathroom. They would give us blunts every now and then. We'd sit there, but we just had to survive with each other. Yeah. And I was like, that sounds cool, but at the same time, no. Like, but also there was a rumor at LSU. So the Pike House was right on the edge of campus.
Yeah, and the Pike where I grew up, the Pikes were not good dudes.
All I'm telling you right now, it's national. The Pike dudes
yeah,
I know. Are.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sorry if this offends anybody. If you're a Pike, your persona and record around the country, your track record is that all of you guys are assholes. And
assholes, really?
Assholes, douchebags, not good people. Like,
you know what's crazy?
Wait for this. Their sign was right, or their house was right on the edge of campus. Like, literally, if the end of the parade ground was here, across the corner was the Pike House. Like, they were right there. They had a neon sign outside their house. It was always green. I saw it red one time. It was late at night after a Saturday night, and I was like, what is that? Rumor is, when that light is green, everything's good. When that light is white, when that light is red, they're beating the shit out of their pledges.
Yeah,
that was the rumor. But here's my thing, man. Also, if I got into one of those pledges and one of them tried to lay a hand on me, it was fight. Like I'm
there's
not.
No,
it's not happening.
There's and by the way, I'm glad you feel that way, dude.
Like, also, I would have got my ass beat if I tried to fight one of those guys, and the rest of them would jump in.
Like, you also probably would have been booted. And by the way, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody.
I walked out on my own terms. Hey, man, we got to fight in order for me to be in this. No, I'm good.
No.
I'm just chill.
And I would guess that especially with the national fraternities, they've had to tone shit down.
Nope. Do you remember what happened at AGR on the week of rushing when I was at LSU?
What's AGR?
It's a frat.
Okay.
I think it's what they're called. AGR. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I apologize. There was a kid who ended up in the hospital that first week of rushing because someone broke a glass bottle over his head, and they put pictures of it on the LSU Facebook, and it is like a movie scene, dude. He's in the hospital, slumped on the bed with a bucket under him, just
slumped.
Slumped, like he's just knocked out.
Yo, I love slumped.
And he's just leaking from the back of his head.
Dude. What?
Like, testosterone and alcohol down south, like oh, also.
Oh wait, not just down south, dude. Anyway, testosterone and alcohol is a crazy mix.
Well, every time I was at Tigerland, by the way, Tigerland is the string of bars.
I remember
at LSU. Yep. You remember? I went out. I didn't go out that much because, like I said, I felt like an outcast. I played video games the whole time. I just wanted to talk to my friends back in LA because also I knew I was coming home, so I just wanted to.
How far into the semester did you know you weren't going the semester?
I knew I was coming back after that semester ended in October, like around Halloween, like right before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. because the girl I was seeing at the time flew out for Halloween.
I remember
that's
that.
When I was like, oh, I don't want to fucking be here.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here. But so that's when I knew I was coming home. But for me, I was just kind of didn't want to go out, all that stuff. But every now and then I was like, all right, like we got to do something. Can't just sit in here the entire semester. You have to have some sort of memories. Getting arrested for smoking weed on campus was one of them. And I'll
good
tell
one.
That story later.
I think we told it on this podcast.
It's quite possible. Mm-hmm. But every time I went out to Tigerland, I saw at least one dude get sucker punched and bad. I mean, there was one where I was at a bar called Reggie's, which by the way, I will never step foot into Reggie's ever again. Not the nicest of staff and not the best morals. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
And this dude runs out from behind Reggie, just kind of jogs over. And I'm like, where the fuck did this guy come from? Goes up behind some dude who's standing at the truck with his friends. Like squats down and loads up. Like, this is a big punch. Whap. Right to the side. Just knocks him hit. His arms are straight before he hits
the floor. That's the worst.
And it's in the parking lot. This is on gravel. Dude hits his head really hard on the gravel. A dude who hit him just casually jogged back to behind Reggie's. And I was like, what the fuck, everybody? Like, anybody see that? this dude on the floor is leaking. And I walk over and I go, yo, you gonna get your boy? And they go, he'll be fine. I go, yo, you see this puddle of blood? I go, he's not fine. I go, you better call one of those 7 cop cars over here and get him to the hospital. Like,
yeah,
his head's open on the ground right here, y'all. You gotta help him. And they're like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. I took my shirt off, like one of my extra shirts that night, because I was wearing an undershirt for a button down. And I just put it under his head. I was like, y'all better fucking help this kid. Like, oh my God.
You know, I don't think that is a, and by the way, it's horrible.
Angry. There's some angry people down at that school for some reason.
Yeah, I don't think that's just unique to LSU or the South. That's true. Alcohol, testosterone is always. I had some friends in college who basically, man, they basically were looking to fuck or fight.
I get the first one. I don't get the second. Actually, you know what?
But
as I've gotten a little older, I kind of do understand the fight.
I'm
not gonna lie.
It's they were like, listen, I'm getting this testosterone out somehow, and we're fucking or we're fighting. And like for me, I was never about that. Although I remember the very last fight I was in, it wasn't much of a fight.
For you or for him?
For him.
Yeah. Hold on.
No. Then for me.
Oh.
Yeah. Meaning he didn't have to throw that many punches. And I don't think I threw one.
Oh. When I said for you or for him, I meant like, was it a bad fight for him as in he lost?
I think he probably hit me when I was standing up.
Oh, Jesus.
Twice. And probably kicked me. I don't know. I was repeatedly. I mean, enough to have shoe marks here.
I was going to say, I'm glad he didn't kick you in the face.
In Seattle. No, never kicked me in the face. In Seattle. Michael Wolf was there.
That's why you got beat up.
I was talking shit is why I got beat up.
He didn't have any help, though.
I just, it wouldn't have helped with this dude. This dude used to work at, well, you know, I worked at the place called Lobo Loco, right?
Right.
It used to be called Renaissance Club. And then when I took over and they wanted to rename it, I was like, at least we should turn it into a Mexican restaurant. And the owner was Japanese. He was like, all right, what do you want to call it? And my, you know, her last name's Wolf.
Lobo.
So I was like, how about Lobo Loco? And he was like, great. I don't know what that means. I'm like, perfect.
Great. Awesome. And then by the way, Crazy Wolf.
I keep sinking further down into this chair. I keep having to lower my microphone.
Oh, I keep like readjusting because these pillows are pushing me off the fucking chair.
You don't have to sit with both of them.
Oh, I like it.
Me too. Let me sit up so I don't
disappear from frame.
Yeah.
Got
there was this dude named James. And James used to manage the club Renaissance when I was there. And also, like, we were the only hip hop. Yo, did I ever tell you?
Okay. Stick to one story. Let's stick to one.
So James used to run the place. He got fired. And he had done some time. And I walked down the street one night and I was drunk and I was feeling myself, man. At the time, I was, you know, in my 20s, I was in
great shape.
Oh my God.
Great shape.
Jacked.
The best shape of your life.
I was jacked. I was probably 184% body fat.
Just muscle.
Dude. This was in my overalls, no shirt underneath stage.
Yeah, your testosterone was a hell of flowing.
My man.
Good Lord.
Hair down the middle of my back. One overall undone. You know, one strap.
Yeah, so that you can see the abs and the pecs. Yeah, I know the deal. I know guys like you.
Yeah. I felt good, man. This was like, yeah. And so.
Just, you know, your computer's about to die.
My computer is. Oh, will you get that charger?
Yeah. Sorry, everybody. Hold on.
And so James used to work. He got fired. He was working down the street at a hot dog stand. And he's a good dude, man.
He was a hardworking guy. But he had gotten fired for some shit
with the owner.
Right.
And I started to, I was obviously taking the owner's side.
Because you want the job.
Yeah, man. But I don't know why I started talking shit to James. He was always such a good dude to me. I was drunk. It's one of the reasons I don't drink.
It happens.
And I was talking to him and I was like, I walk up, I go, and I was ordered a hot dog, and I started out civil. And he said, "How's it going down there?" I go, "Good. We're doing really well." And he started to say something about Aki. Aki was the owner. Mm. And I don't know why I felt like I needed to protect Aki.
Yeah.
But I was like, "Listen, dude." And I started going on him. "You're never going to fuck another job down on this street." And I remember him looking up at the sky, putting down the tongs that he used for the hot dogs, and looking at me and going, because he and I were always cool, man. James and I had a good time. We'd smoke weed together. We'd go out to clubs.
Why did you provoke him?
We'd go out to clubs. I was drunk. We'd go out to clubs together. And this was also the same guy. There was a dude who worked. What was his name? Scott?
Scott Wolf?
No. Oh. There was a dude who worked there who used to tell me he wasn't gay, but his mouth was. And I was like, what?
What the
And he was
what always, does that even mean?
Keith would say, I don't like to date guys. I don't want to go out with them. I like to kiss dudes. And I'm like, huh? And he goes, I don't like to touch them. I don't like to touch them, me, but I like to kiss them. And I was like, that sounds, which is fine, man, but it just sounds like the beginning of the
process. Yeah. Where's he now? Can we find out? I would love to know an update on this gentleman. Because I would like to know if that path took him down the right path or the wrong one. Or not, there's no wrong one, by the way. It just took him down the path that I think all of us expected.
I don't know where he is. I have to tell you, that place in general had so many great stories. We did a fetish night there.
That's awesome.
On Tuesday night, and our DJ pulled up in a hearse. And he kept all his albums and stuff in a coffin that he would roll in.
Were his turntables also in the coffin?
Everything was in the coffin.
Would it be cool if he opened?
Well, we had turntables at the time. We were a club.
Oh, okay. So we had
turntables.
You didn't have to bring your own turntables kind of shit.
But he had two coffins. So if he was mobile, he would open one coffin and it had his biggie, biggie, boo.
That's awesome.
Biggie, biggie, boo. And the other one was just records.
That's super dope.
There was a DJ there. He had this crazy Jerry curl. And it was wet. Wet. Mullet, Jerry curl, black guy.
Wet as in like it was physically wet, or wet as in it was awesome wet? Because like if I say,
I know what
like,
that means, like, awesome wet.
Hey, another slang teaching for Joshua here. So let's say I take a shot like in basketball, right? Or like I hit a three and I go, oh, the shot was wet.
Why? Wet?
Your shot's water. Your shot's wet, but also like all those shoes are wet, drip, like you know, drippy.
Okay. Well, I've never heard wet used. It's substituted for good.
Yeah. Yeah, that shot was wet. Wetty.
Wetty.
I used to scream that if I pick a ball. If I hit like four or five threes in a row, I'd be like, wetty.
I don't even know what that means. Yeah. His name was Jimmy.
Jimmy and James.
Well, James was a different. James was a muscular 5'9" black dude. And Jimmy was a skinny mullet of a Jerry curl, wet, meaning the product he had in it.
It was physically like he was actually
like
wet.
When he fluffed his mullet Jerry curl, his shoulders were, there was like grease.
Yeah. Okay.
And he dated this white woman, older. So Jimmy was probably, and Jimmy was skinny, crackhead skinny, giant head, Jerry curl mullet. And the woman was older than him, but had some money, always had cash on her. And, she was one of those white women that had like her ass crack started like in the middle of her back.
Yeah. And you started like, a little too far up.
Yikes. So, but they were great. And she had like 1980s rock and roll hair. The two of them were such a crazy. And so those were the two DJs. Joey Diaz worked at that club.
Okay.
But can I tell you a story about your biological mom?
Wait, can you tell a story about how you got your ass beat first? Because you keep going away from that.
So I walked down the street. So
he looked up the sky.
And he looked at me and he goes, you know what? Right when he said, you know what? That's the last time I remember.
Get your ass beat after that.
Basically, the you know what was, you know what? I know this dude and we're cool, but he doesn't need to talk to me like that.
Yeah.
And
he punched you
many times. Okay. But you know, I brought him back in to work a couple days later with he came in with Aki. And Aki was like, James wants to say something to you. And James goes, I'm really sorry. I go, yeah, you got nothing to apologize for, dude.
Yeah.
You were patient enough. And I just never stopped.
Yeah. I antagonized you.
I told him straight up. I go, you got nothing to apologize for. And I even woke up the next day. And I remember we were at the park with Caitlin and Trevor and your biological. And
I like it. We'll just call it biological. I like that. That makes me laugh.
And I had a concussion. My head was ringing. I had this headache and I had shoe marks on my ribs. Oof. And, but you want to hear a great story about your biological?
Sure.
So one night we had a hip hop night, Wednesdays, Asian hip hop.
Interesting.
And it was run by the Park Brothers. They were Korean guys.
Okay.
And they brought their own security. You know, these dudes were strapped from boot to suit. Strapped.
Like strap? Like guns. Packing straps?
Yeah.
Damn.
Everybody on the security detail strapped.
Well, how many people on the security team?
Probably 10.
Jesus. Are we talking like present and can see them or hidden and you just knew that they were there?
Hidden. Although I think Michael Park might have kept his out. I don't remember. No, I don't think so.
It's a good intimidation factor.
Everybody knew.
But also caused a lot of attention.
No, everybody knew. And by the way, the Park Brothers.
It does sound like a fucking gang.
When they threw you out, if they threw you out the back, you were catching a fucking beating.
They threw you out the back where no one else could see you get your ass beat.
The Park Brothers, and I think his name was Michael. That dude was, you know, he'd smile and he's friendly. But
catch him on the bad side.
Let me tell you something right now. Outside of his brother, nobody was above getting a beating. I don't care how much I like you or know you or you step out of line or you're catching a beating. And so the Park Brothers didn't fuck about. So one night, it's packed. We got our, you know, probably 400 Asian folks in there. And that's because that's how we rolled. They all came down.
Yeah.
And the parks threw like this. It was amazing. And, you know, one night, Gavin and I, the last night that club was open, it closed because Aki, when I went out of town one night, he was like, I want to throw a party. I go, Aki, don't throw a party without me. Because he just didn't understand the business. And then I had gotten wind that he was doing an all ages party.
All ages?
And I said, yo, man, because he had signs up at UW. All ages, coming, and it had the... Whatever the Park Brothers, so they it was an Asian night, right? And so there was a lot of 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds.
Underage drinking.
And I told Aki, I go, don't do this, man. I go, you got to promise me you're not going to do this. Because at that time, I owned 50% of the bar, 15% of the bar.
I thought you said 50. I was like, dude.
I go, you can't do this, dude. I go, this is a bad idea. We just got out from under the rock because we had a couple shootings. I'm going to go back to the story about your biological.
Yeah.
We had a couple shootings. And so people were like, let's not go down to that club. I go, but they're looking at us. And he was like, nobody's looking at us. I go, you promise you're not going to do it. He goes, I promise. So they came about half an hour after they came in. They carted people. I think out of the 400 or 500 people there, probably 200 were minors.
Jeez.
And that's a ticket you just can't even pay for.
No.
You know what I mean? So that ended up getting shut down. But one night the parks were there. And they throw somebody out, not too kindly.
Yeah, I feel like when you say the Park Brothers, like, by the way, it sounds like a movie scene where it's like, don't get thrown out by the Park Brothers.
Yeah,
like,
man.
So the Park Brothers, like, their security guards picked you up by your coat neck and your pant line and threw you out.
You got thrown out. This dude got thrown out the front.
Oh.
Not too kindly. Like, on his way up the stairs, carried out on the way, and humiliatingly, if I remember correctly, there were four dudes. One of them had his belt and they were just carrying him. And they threw him out.
By the way, if you get thrown, also just for everybody, if you get thrown out the back, different. If you get thrown out the front, they're making an example out of you.
No, they just tossed him. And you could hear him yelling. And he was like, I'm going to my car. And you could hear Michael Park go to your car. He's like, I'm bringing back a strap. And he was like, you're not strapped. Go to your car. See what happens. Go to your car. Michael, he's not fucking about it. And by the way, Aki was never getting rid of this night because it made us so much money. So and go to your car. Dude comes back.
Strapped.
I'm bartending. It's double floor place.
Are you top floor?
Top floor.
Okay. So you can see this.
Oh, I'm watching the whole thing. And actually, this night I was the lower floor.
Oh.
And I usually top floor, but I like doing lower floor on the Asian nights because lower floor was really where the dance club was. And I could sell full bottles to people.
Yeah.
I wasn't supposed to, but it was partially my place.
And as long as you were making the full amount of money for it.
I didn't get full amount. Like if somebody walked in with like, how much for that bottle? I'm like, how much do you want to pay for that bottle? And I was like, I only got two bottles left. I got to pour one. You can have this other one, but how much? And I would give Aki in the bar their cut, but whatever I sold over, I would keep.
Facts.
Right? So that night I was downstairs and fucking, you hear.
Ringing.
Right? Carrying him, throw him out. And the best part about this, Aki was also, he used to run this place with a dude named Leo, who was part of the Korean mob.
This story gets better.
You know, Leo disappeared one day and never came back.
Leo's dead.
And Aki told me, I go, where's Leo? And he just told me he's not coming back. I go, wait, he sold the business? He goes, he's just not coming back.
Leo's dead.
Leo. Yo, I didn't ask any other question after that. He was like,
no, because if you ask any more questions about someone involved in the Korean mob or any mob for that fact, and they just say they're not coming back and you try to ask too many questions, guess who's not coming back next?
He just kept saying, yeah, he's not coming back. Yeah. No, don't worry about that. He's not coming back. Yeah, I was like, okay.
He got tied up in some shit.
So. Your mom, your biological, she was mad at me for something. And so when the dude comes back in, come out, right? Everyone's drops, scrambles, except for the security guards. So you got about, there's still security downstairs, but you got about six upstairs, all with a gun trained on this dude. And he's back and forth, you know, moving the gun. And I'm all fucking, and Park was like, do it. You might get one of us, but I hope you're trained with that gun. And he was just talking shit to him. He was like, I could fucking shoot your eye out right now.
He was mind gaming him.
Yo, dude, it was quiet. Except for, you know, the quiet.
Except for Park.
You know, Park and this dude, every now and then the scream. And if somebody else was talking, Michael would scream. Mike Park would scream, shut up. To security guys or whatever.
Mm.
And he would scream stuff like, one voice, shut up. And he was just talking.
That's crazy.
And then you're biological. So at the door is a dude with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And she walks up and thinks he's a bouncer. Where's Josh? Is he working tonight? And this dude was like, bitch, what the? Right? This is a black guy. Bitch, what the fuck? Right. And that's another thing is that Park was antagonizing him a little racially, almost like he wanted some shit to go down. Right.
He's the kind of guy who lives for shit like that.
So he's just not scared, man. And so the guy was like, but, and you could tell he was confused. And your biological was, it was like she didn't understand that nobody was moving. There were people on the ground hiding behind the bar under tables, and the only six people that were standing had guns. She walks right up to Michael. Is Josh here tonight? And he was like, Malia, go downstairs. What the fuck are you doing? So people had run downstairs, so we knew what was happening. And I'm watching on camera from down below. And I can't hear it, but I can see her at the door. And I'm like, what is she doing?
Fucking.
And then I see her storming down the stairs. Josh, hello. It was something like I hadn't gone over. I was supposed to stop by before the work or something.
Something stupid.
You know, she came down. I go, are you? I go, look at this camera. She was like, who is that? I go, that's the dude with the gun you just talked to, you dumb fuck. Dumbass. It was so crazy.
What the fuck, man?
But there were some criminals that came into that place.
Yeah, it doesn't shock me. The more you keep saying about this place, I'm not surprised. I'm also kind of surprised you're not somehow in jail for it.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Just guilty by association. Selling bottles technically isn't legal.
I technically stole from them the last month I was there, but they owed me probably. So the place sold. Aki sold it. He was like, I'm going back to Japan.
Oh, bye, Aki.
And these two dudes that I knew bought it. And I knew they were both kind of crooked, but I'd known them. And this was the last time I ever said to myself, oh, I know they're kind of crooked, but they like me. They're not going to do that to me.
You don't know someone until you truly know someone.
No, dude, a thief is a thief is a thief.
Facts.
All right. And so their deal was, you know this place better than any of us. Get it up and running. And you can be the manager, but get it up and running. I said, all right.
Okay.
And I got it up and running. And they hadn't paid me my salary and hadn't given me the shifts that I needed to make money. I was the manager, so I wanted other people to have good shifts.
Right.
And then they low key under the table told somebody else they were the manager and that I was on my way out. And I was like, okay.
Cool.
So, and then one of the owners I knew was stealing money. This was the place where Joe Diaz and I stole that safe.
I don't know that story either.
Oh, you don't?
Dude, I don't know. No. Let's go off that story. Okay. Is this the story of how you stole from them though? This is stealing the safe?
Kinda. No.
So you stole from this place multiple times?
Twice.
Twice. Once with Joe Diaz in a safe.
Yeah.
And the other, did you also take things out of the safe and then leave?
Let me just say this. I did the same thing I did with the bottle. They got their money, but I got mine. Right?
Fair enough.
They got their money. And they owed me, even after what I stole, they still owed me thousands of dollars.
Right. So that's why you stole the safe.
I didn't consider it stealing. I considered you owed me money. And so you don't want to pay me in the normal way. I'll just come get it.
I did that once, not gonna lie, but not with money, with a piece, with a bong.
Really?
I did it with Jack. Oh. Remember when I told you?
And
you drove me over there. Remember? Because we got in a fight about something, and I'd given him a piece to borrow while he had like saved up some money to buy a new one, and we got into it about something, and so I called his sister. And his sister was there. Kiki's like my little sister right now, and has been for a couple years, and so I called Kiki. Go, hey, is Jack home? She goes, no. I go, all right, I'm coming by. She goes, for what? I go, I'm taking my fucking bong back. Like, dude, it's been 2 months. Like, I want my shit back. And we just got in a fight. So I drove over there, packed that shit up, drove away.
That's not stealing. That's your shit.
I was like, that's my shit. And he came home and he was like, and he called me. He was like, yo, where's my bong? And I'm like, you mean mine that I was lending you and now I haven't had one for 2 months? And he goes, you can't do that. And I go, yeah, I can.
Yeah,
I go,
just did.
I go, That's my thing. And I go, I'm going to take it because it's mine. And he goes, you're such a pussy about that. And I go, no, you're the dude who's been dodging my calls all day and hanging out with your girl in Silmar. So I'm just coming to get my shit, bro. No big deal. And then he's like, I'm outside your place. Let's fight. And I'm like, Jack, I'm not going to fight you.
Remember we almost got into like huge fights.
Yeah. Jack and I got into it a couple times. But never like actually into it.
No, but I remember him like, we're going to fight. And you were like, we're not going to fucking fight.
Dude. No, we're not going to fucking fight. He was the most uncoordinated person of all time.
So funny.
Love the kid. Love the kid.
Watching him rock climb was so much fun.
Watching him run was the funniest thing.
It was good stuff.
Yeah. It was.
But you know what the best part about it? He was super confident no matter what. He was jumping over. He was jumping up and down on those rocks. We were rock climbing. Didn't matter.
Yeah. He didn't care. He was like, no, I fit in. He's like, I'm one of you.
Yeah. He's fucking. He was ready, dude. Yeah. 100%.
My man was meant to be on a stage for sure.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. But so you guys stole a safe?
Oh, so I had found that one of the owners was dealing coke out of the basement and banging at least one of the wait staff and taking money out of the till every night. So
the till, like the tips?
The register.
Oh.
And he wasn't telling me. And so I was telling him. And the other owner, I'm like, this dude, this bartender's stealing.
When it was the owner.
Right. We ended up firing the dude because the owner was like, yeah, he's stealing. But it was the owner.
Oh, shit.
I had to fire this dude. And he was like, I'm not stealing. I was like, man, your register is always short. He was like, I'm not stealing from you. And he wasn't.
He wasn't?
No.
Do you know him? Did you ever reach out after that knowing then say, hey, my bad?
After, yeah. Yeah. Yep. And so, and the other owner, this dude named Swanee. Swanee was a left-handed catcher. That's right. Who played...
Just for people who don't know baseball.
That doesn't exist.
That's not a thing.
The reason that doesn't exist, everybody, is a left-handed catcher, right? When he most batters in the professional in Major League Baseball are righties. So a left-handed catcher, when somebody's stealing, when they stand up, they're going to have to worry about... I can't throw a lefty.
They're going to have to worry about hitting
the
right-handed batter.
Because the batter technically doesn't have to move out of the batter's box.
We called it Statue of Liberty. If somebody, right. if somebody ever stole third, we would just say, stand in the box, don't move.
Right. So a lefty catcher is hard. Also, you know, as a righty, I can try to pick people off at first easier. It's a lot easier. Okay. So Swanee played in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I mean, look, a left-handed catcher, you have to have some sort of extra talent.
He had his place was where I started doing stand-up. He had a place upstairs called Swanee's, and downstairs was a Comedy Underground. Yo, the things I... Jacob. Okay. How much do I want to tell you?
Well, I'm 41, so you take. You choose.
So we used to party with the Yankees.
What?
They would go down in the basement of Swanee's. We'd close the Comedy Underground. This was maybe when I did some ecstasy. And there was a person who played for the Yankees.
What year?
This has got to be 94.
So this was like peak 90s Yankees right here.
Yeah.
This is like the fucking Yankees right here. Yeah. This is like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Swanee's was basically across the street from the Kingdom. And they all knew Swanee. Swanee was still. It just was the baseball bar.
Right.
Everybody, the opposing. This was when pre-cell phone opposing teams went out after the games because they were on the road. And nobody, right. Nobody was taking pictures. You didn't.
Nobody knew where you were.
There was one of the Yankees pitchers, a guy named Andy Hawkins, used to come over, and he bartended.
No way.
Yeah, he'd come by and hop by the bar.
That's hilarious. Wait, that's so weird.
Yeah, and so, one night we're at the Swanee's, and they were out, and a bunch of Yankees came by, and you know they closed up a Comedy Underground, and there was some ecstasy being done. And it was probably 2 a.m.
Okay.
And more ecstasy was brought out. And the guy who I'm not going to say who it was.
I'm going to go ahead and I have a couple thoughts in my head, but I'm going to go ahead and keep them to myself.
Said, I take another hit of this ecstasy. There's no way I can play tomorrow. And one of his friends was like, don't be a pussy. And he took the ecstasy. And he was a late scratch. He did not play the next day. By the way,
also, for anybody who, if you ever want to get a guy who's super competitive to do something, just call him a pussy. He'll do it in about 8 seconds right after that.
It seemed to work for this guy.
It works for everybody. You know how I always get Riley to drink with me or do something with me? Pussy, pussy.
Yeah,
and he just, it gets him going.
I just want to let you know that doesn't work as well when you get older. Like, you could do that to me all day long, and I'm like, yep, pussy.
You know what's funny? I do that nowadays. People are like, you're a pussy. And I'm like, yeah, dude. Yeah. You know what I always say? And I'll look into the camera when I say this. I am what I eat. And I'll leave it at that.
I don't like that response.
It's funnier in people my age.
Let me put my glasses on.
What, to see the response?
I don't like that response.
You look like Dexter from Dexter's Laboratory.
I like the size of these glasses. I can't believe I went on stage last night. By the way, we went to Huntsville, Alabama last night, and our friends from Little Big Town let us use their bus, which was
so cool.
Super cool.
Yeah, so cool.
And they came with us, and but it was a good time, man.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Yeah.
Good crowd. If you were in Huntsville last night, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man. Yeah, great crowd.
Good crowd.
That outfit last night, I think, is where I'm leaning towards.
I don't mind it.
Going in, what'd you think when it wasn't on me?
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah.
I wish you, I didn't also mind you wearing the Blazers. Like, I think the Blazers really actually helped that outfit a lot. I like the Docs, but I think the Blazers are a good move.
I'm going to go Docs, man. And I think I'm going to go buy another cardigan. I was wearing a cardigan, everybody.
Oh, yeah. You were wearing a cardigan.
All right, you guys got to get going. So we'll tell the Joe Diaz story in another podcast.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
I have a lot of Seattle stories.
Yeah, I don't know any of them.
Really?
Any
Do
of
you
them.
Have any questions about
for another podcast. Yes.
Do you have questions about Seattle or how I grew up or anything?
Yeah, I have. I definitely have questions. I definitely have questions for sure.
Yeah, I have questions too. For you?
For what? You always have questions for me.
Yeah, I have more.
All right. Well, we'll do that another time then.
And listen, guys, I'm going to make this email, but here's what's going to happen from here on out. These podcasts, as you're watching them on Rockfin, will live here. There will be a free podcast, which will be Q&A. Mm-hmm. UQ will A. Right?
Yeah.
I think we'll load those up here on Rockfin too, but those will also be free.
Yep.
What do you want to tell everybody?
Peace, love, and positivity, man.
No. What about on social media?
Oh, I was going to say, tell somebody you love them.
That's more important. Go ahead.
That is, tell somebody you love them. It's very important. Jake_Wolf on Instagram. It's Jake Wolf on TikTok. I don't really give a shit about Twitter because it's too toxic. So if you find me on there, cool, but I don't really tweet. So, and Twitch, Youthful Wolf, you know, like the young wolf because he's old. Yeah, I think that's it.
Josh Wolf Comedy on socials, comedianjoshwolf.com for tour dates
and tickets.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
We'll see you guys. Let's
drop this shit.
We gonna. Later.
Later.
Hold on. How do I stop it? I forget how I stop it now.
Hit end broadcast in your top right corner.
Later.